Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Regardless of how long you've been in this business, you still have new trends and plants that you don't know much about sneak up on you. So today, I'm conversing about cacti, and we'll be joined by John Chandler from Simply Succulents. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast. Goodness, what a scorcher. More like Singapore with high temperatures and high humidity. I'm almost wedded to the end of my hose. It's just a job to keep everything into some sort of fettle, especially when you've got 500 or 600 pots to water. It's a very small world, you know. Tom Nellist, our interview guest last week, emailed me yesterday to say he was contacted by a listener in British Columbia who was interested in Uncle Tom's rose tonic. So, my greetings to whoever you are out in British Columbia. It's a small world these days. On the news front, OPM, Oak Processionary Moth, continues to hit the headlines, and I see that two semi-mature oaks planted in Hartlepool have been infected with this caterpillar. They've been chemically treated and the tree removed. There's a lot of comment too in Holland with Dutch growers just being a bit uneasy what's going to happen about compensation. Apparently it rests between the seller and the buyer, you know. So if it's a UK person purchasing oaks from Holland and when they arrive they have this processionary moth caterpillar, and the trees get destroyed, then I'm afraid there'd be some pretty strong debate as to who's going to pick up the tab at the end. Last week we were talking about Uncle Tom's rose tonic, and I see in the press this week that potassium phosphonate is now recommended for scab control on apples and pears. And it's interesting that it almost works like a human flu jab. If you spray potassium phosphonate onto the leaves of apples and pears, then it goes into the sap stream and helps the plant resist such diseases. The news on the garden centre front is pretty optimistic still. I see that Notcut's garden centres report a 1.5 million profit, up 52% on the year to February 2019. Now, 14 of their 18 centres have demonstration show gardens looked after by the resident staff. There's news too of a 15 million grant for farm tech ups. You know, that's for money to be invested in things like robots. And already I see that there's a robot that can selectively harvest iceberg lettuce. It'll be interesting to see just how far that robot activity develops. Oh, and I noticed at Hyde Hall, they invite visitors to take off their shoes and socks to run barefoot over their lush green lawns. I can tell you, those lawns are absolutely magnificent, and it would be very tempting to take your shoes off and feel the grass between your toes. Walking down from the main house, there's two really long, beautiful beds of lavender, and I noticed that the rosemary beetle were about. Each time I walk up and down, I pick one or two off to try and reduce the damage they might do, really prompted by a school that I went to in the London suburbs where they had a trimmed box, and box moth caterpillar were a real problem. The man responsible for the gardens there had got the children to actually collect the caterpillars and feed them to the chickens. And the kids absolutely loved doing that. I don't know where the care of the wildlife fits into all of that, but apparently they used to arrive early to school and pick off caterpillars and feed them to the chickens. And then at break time, in the morning, lunchtime and in the afternoon, they would be there picking away again. And they picked off hundreds by all accounts. So there's a good way. I need a couple of three children to come and pick the asparagus beetles off my asparagus, because that's a full-time job too. We were asked several times at the floral display we have at Hyde Hall about controlling black fly and cabbage white butterfly caterpillars on nasturtiums. I mean, nasturtiums are really beautiful plants, and we got that big trial, 78 different kinds just coming into flower. Oh, and there's one or two in the Alaska series with variegated leaves that have the flowers right up above the foliage, look really good. But controlling those two pests are quite difficult. I've just sent an order off for a butterfly net, because I think if I can catch one or two of those cabbage whites, that might nip the problem in the bud, so to speak. And I'm a bit reluctant about using chemical sprays, although there is one for caterpillars, which is natural and will just damage the caterpillars, not the bees. When it comes to black fly, then you really need to keep a sharp eye on them. And as soon as you see the first starts of an infection, just pick them off. Or, if needs be, spot spray. Where we're using the organic natural oil, usually rapeseed oil sprays, I'm a bit uneasy because they're so wide spectrum. You know, they knock out the beneficials as well as the aphids that we really want to control. So sharp eyes are the first thing, and eliminating the initial infection will be a big step forward to keeping your plants clean.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now, I have to admit something of a blind spot when it comes to cactus. And speaking to John Chandler on one of the big shows, he kindly offered to come in and do an interview with us. So, with a bit of luck today, I might be shaped up a bit when it comes to cactus and succulents, which have become very popular in the last year or two. Now, John, welcome to the podcast. Can I ask, how did you first get into horticulture?
I started as a weekend job when I was 14, working at a garden centre. I just wanted to earn some money. And, yeah, that's just how it started, really. I'd had plants before, obviously, when I was very young. But just working weekends at a garden centre has completely changed what I was going to do.
Yeah, that happens with quite a lot of people too, doesn't it? You know, that sort of weekend till boy and girl often introduces them to the business.
It does. I mean, I was all lined up to be an accountant, an office worker or something like that. And yes, it just completely sort of changed my outlook on life, really. Just got interested and more interested. And yes, I ended up leaving school and just going to work at the same place.
Oh, right. How did you set off on your own then? Because that's quite a big leap for any of us, isn't it?
I suppose so. I started doing sort of gardening rounds and growing plants for shows and little boot fairs and things like that. I've worked for lots of different nurseries, and I've been managing of garden centres, wholesale nurseries, all sorts of things like that. And about 20 years ago, I just thought I might as well just go back to the growing, which is basically what I enjoy most, and just started from there, really, doing bigger and bigger shows.
But why Simply Succulents, the company's name?
Yeah, well, I'd always grown them. I mean, even when sort of I started about 20 years ago, just growing, I always grew succulents. Surprised myself on how many I actually already had. Just things like sempervivums, house leeks, sedums, always having sort of house plants like money plants, things like that. And I just thought, you know, everyone's growing very similar things on the show circuit, lots of perennials. So I just thought I wanted something a bit different. And about sort of 5.5 years ago, I just thought, yep, that's it. I'm going to specialise. And succulents have always been a sort of major interest. And I think they're fascinating. There's just such a huge family. There's just such a massive range. So, yeah, I just went for it, really.
I mean, your timing was perfect, wasn't it? All the young people, even university students, are having succulents and cactus on the windowsill. People like IKEA and all the big retailers, they seem to be stocking them. I mean, where did that all come from?
If you like, to be honest with you, I think it's more the fact that they've always been popular. I just think they're getting the recognition now. Lots of people think, oh yes, I've got a money plant, oh, I didn't know that was a succulent. Lots of people had them in their childhood, and I think there's a lot of people come to the shows and think, oh, I have one of those, yeah, I'll have one of those now. You know, it's an interest, really, and I think they fit in well with people's modern day sort of lives, really. They've got less time to look after things. They're more tolerant than most houseplants. A lot are suitable for the garden. There's some for sort of every situation, really. So I think they just fit in very well with people's hectic lives nowadays.
Yeah, modern lifestyle. Now, can you give us a few tips then, John, if we've got succulents in pots outside or indoors, what's the best treatment for them? I was at a show at Hyde Hall last weekend with the local Cactus and Succulent Society. I mean, there were some stunning pans of cactus there, and lithiops, you know, the things that look like stones.
Yeah, I grow those. Yeah, they're fascinating. Yes, I know the society as well, because I've been to Hyde Hall a few times and I've met them all, yes. There's lots of societies around the country, and they're all sort of fascinating growers, really. So it is worth going to see them. Right, well, first thing I would say, I get asked an awful lot, what's the difference between a cactus and a succulent?
Yeah, that's a good place to start, yeah.
Well, there isn't. They're all succulents, basically, which shocks a lot of people. And then the next question is, obviously, what is a succulent? Well, it's just a plant that has fleshy leaves or stems that's adapted to storing water. And then people say, oh, I've got some of those. You don't need to water them, do you? Well, yes, you do. Just because they can store water and live longer without any water doesn't mean they don't like a lot of water. Mainly sort of April till October. They like good drainage. So if you're growing them in a pot or container, I always recommend something like John in his number two, two parts, one part grit, and a terracotta pot that's unglazed, so it can breathe through the pot as well.
Yes, could I just recap with that, John? So that was John in his number
two.
Two, and
yep,
then you
two
do
parts,
two parts.
And one part grit.
One part grit, okay.
Yeah, number three has got too much fertiliser, and I just think that makes a perfect compost. And terracotta pots are lovely. Older the better, dirtier the better, I always think.
And is that for appearance rather than cultivation?
I think both, really, yes. I've got some over 100 years old, and I just think they're wonderful. The roots breathe through them, the plants dry out through them. It's just much healthier. So I think they're lovely. I mean, I like some on steps. So you've got one little pot going up each step. Lovely. Lots of people like putting succulents in pots because a lot go indoors for the winter and come out for the summer. Some are hardy, they stay out. They're just fascinating, really.
And if you're using a new terracotta pot, it's quite important that we remind people that they need soaking in water, don't they?
Yes, and it should be unglazed because can't breathe through the glazing.
Right.
So, and they're not expensive. Terracotta flower pots are very reasonable prices, and it's the healthiest thing for any plant.
I've got one or two. You say you've got one or two old friends. I have one or two. I mean, they used to be hand-thrown, didn't they, a long time ago?
Yes, you could
still
right.
see that character in the...
That's what I like. I mean, it's horrifying when I think one of the first jobs I did in horticulture when I was 14 was smashing them up. Oh, it's for drainage to go into new plastic pots. But I think we're coming full circle now. We've switched to a pot that's recyclable, which is good, really. I mean, we do a lot of mail order, so everything has to be sort of recyclable nowadays, which I think is nice.
Now, can you run us through how we might use them? I mean, a very popular plant is aloe vera. You often see that on windowsills. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Oh, yes. Brilliant plant. Every home should have one. It's an excellent house plant. Not only does it purify the air, if you get burns, bites or stings, just slice a piece off an outside leaf and just squeeze and rub it on. It's the best thing for sunburn, you'll find, and always say it in the kitchen because invariably you get burns, especially if you cook like I do. It's just such a useful plant. I think the aloe family in general are sort of... very useful plants in medicine. There's one called arborescens, which is used as a cancer treatment now. It's a metastatic cancer. It's there's several products about already, and there's lots of studies into it, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more.
Well, certainly the aloe vera I've used on burns with great success.
Yeah, any skin condition, really. People with eczema, lots of bites and stings, it's excellent for, really. And it's actually looks better as a houseplant than it does if you grow it outside in the summer. It colours up much nicer. Doesn't need a lot of light. It grows very, very quickly. So it's an ideal plant for anyone to have on the windowsill.
And how would you propagate it?
Well, they send up little babies
right.
As they get big up. So the easiest thing to do is knock it out of the pot and split it and grow one of the smaller ones on.
Yeah.
If you've got the patients in the room, after about 4 or 5 years, you'll get a flower, which is quite exciting.
Well, I can't say that I've seen mine flower. Yeah. But then,
I've had one earlier this year. It's like a bit like a red hot poker, bright yellow, about 3 foot high. Yeah, no, it's worth waiting for.
Now, what about the prickly ones and getting those to flower? How easy is that?
I think it's easy if you leave them to be dormant in the winter. That's the secret. I mean, normal watering sort of April to October, then they've got to have a sort of a drought period from then. Basically, you've just got to water them enough to keep them alive. So as little as possible, really. They need to have that dormancy. And then when you start increasing the water in sort of early April time and the light levels are increasing, they'll pop into flower.
And can you give us one or two names? The names sort of frighten me a bit, but...
There are a few. I mean, I prefer, obviously, succulents that don't bite back. There's lots of them I really like. Houseplant-wise, Portulacaria, Afra variegata, frightening name, commonly called elephant bush. Beautiful houseplant, lovely red stems, cream variegation. Most people have money plants in the house that get huge. I always put mine out in the summer in a semi-shady spot, just keeps them much cleaner and more compact.
Now, that money plant name...
Crassula ovatus.
Well, you know, I did hear that it got that name from a nationwide program.
It has lots of different names as well.
Oh,
Friendship tree, obviously jade plant. I mean, it's supposed to be a plant that you give to somebody. It's not something you buy for yourself. it should always be a gift.
Oh, right.
I always think that's a lovely version of it, really.
Yeah.
I always like thinking of that one. But as with lots of plants, there are lots of different common names, so unfortunately you've got to learn the botanical names.
Well, with the money plants, you often see quite big ones in Chinese restaurants, don't you?
Yeah, all the time, yes. Usually huge, growing up against the windows or whatever.
Yeah, like trees.
I mean, yes. I mean, it is big. It does grow to sort of 2 metres quite easily. People will be shocked at the size of them. There are miniature forms, which are nice, and there's variegated forms, which are, you know, just as lovely, really.
And do you propagate those vegetatively?
Yes. Either leaves or stem cuttings.
Right. What, you can just break a leaf off, almost like...
Yeah, literally. Just wiggle it off at the base so it snaps off cleanly. And then literally you can just lay it on the surface or poke it into a nice gritty compost and it will soon start rooting. That's the case with a lot of succulents. Again, that's probably why they're so popular, because people accidentally propagate them. The leaf falls off, it, you know, just sits on the surface, and then they notice it's got roots, it's got little leaves appearing, and off it goes into another pot.
And then, John, what about the echeverias? Because we see an awful lot of those now on sale, and presumably they're quite a strong part of your catalogue range.
Yes, they are. I mean, they're always very popular. The lovely thing is they'll flower and don't die. Lots of succulents are monocarpic, which means they flower and die, like aeoniums, but they take quite a long time to get there. And plants like the agaves that you see a lot in them, sort of down a sort of Mediterranean way. But again, they take a long time, quite a few years before they get to that size. Echeveras, yeah, incredibly popular. Biggest problem with them is people overwatering them in the winter, and they tend to stretch for the light, that the light levels are just too low. So again, keep them as dry as possible and with as much light as possible, from about October right through till April.
Now, John, if people want to contact you in the way that I've done, get more information, what's the best way to do that?
They can go on the website and they can ask questions on the website, or they can email me directly at simplysucculents@gmx.co.uk.
Yeah, just do that once again, because that was quite quick. They email to
simplysucculents@gmx.co.uk. UK.
And then you're on the show circuit, aren't you? Where are you going to be showing next?
Yeah, next will be Taunton Flower Show, 2nd to the 3rd of August. Then we're at Shrewsbury Flower Show, 9th to the 10th of August. RHS Wisley, 3rd to the 8th of September. And finally, Harrogate, 14th to 16th of September.
John, I hope to catch up with you at one of those shows this summer.
I'm sure I will. Yeah. I'll look forward to it.
And thanks very much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
It's the Game Fair on the 26th and the 28th at Hatfield House in Hertfordshire. And you might wonder what I'm doing mentioning the Game Fair. Well, I hope to pop in because Cable Manor College have built what they believe to be the biggest show garden ever at any kind of exhibition or event. And I'll be very pleased to visit and have a look at that. Oh, and the other thought is that at Hyde Hall on the 26th of July, there's a flower and garden photography masterclass. I hope all those photographers nip into our Floral Fantasia, because if you keep an eye on the Sun newspaper, we got a competition for the best pictures taken in our Floral Fantasia, and the people at that workshop should know just what to do. So, happy snapping. The children are almost queuing up to sit on our little mushroom seats, and they'll make great subjects for photographs to submit to our competition. And it's the Hyde Hall Flower Show from the 31st of July to the 4th of August. If you're going to that show, and it's a really nice day out for the family, make sure that you walk all the way across the garden up into the new vegetable display garden and then you can come on to our Floral Fantasia, which is just over the fence. Yeah, whatever you do, don't go to that show and then miss seeing our very colourful display. Also, there's the Tender and Hardy Fern Show at Wisley for the 3rd and 4th of August. For those of us who live north of Wisley, I'm afraid you have the M25 to face. That's becoming pretty tough for me. Took 3.25 hours last time I went to try and get to Wisley at the weekend. So I'm afraid Whitehall is becoming a more common call for me. Also on Wednesday the 31st of July, Peter Beals up in Attleborough has a morning plant propagation workshop. You know, those gardens should still look magnificent. Some of the roses may be off flush and waiting for the second flush to come through, but there's a good lot of perennials planted amongst them, good restaurant. And if you want to learn about sowing seeds, rooting softwood, half-ripe and hardwood cuttings, well, then there's the morning plant propagation workshop on Wednesday the 31st of July. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast, and thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.